to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thank you so much for joining us on the program. You know, before we get started, I have to say that earlier today, I just happened to be going through the programs going back to 2007, listening to how I used to introduce this program back then. And what I found was fascinating. Did I introduce the program the same now as I did back then, almost 4 years ago? I guess that's a good thing. There's some consistency there. Or am I in a rut? You let me know. Nonetheless, I'm glad you're here. It's wonderful. It's a beautiful day. A little breezy here on the central coast of Southern California. But nonetheless, it is beautiful, clear skies, gorgeous temperatures, and we're looking for a wonderful summer. And it just happens to be Memorial Day weekend. We hope that you will celebrate appropriately and carefully as well. Today's program is going to be a little different because today we are not going to have our AAA editor with us, our astrological and astronomical editor. Assignment editor Beth McDonald. And what's interesting about it is that she's not here almost for the very reason why my guest is. And our thoughts and prayers and wishes go out to Beth and her family for the passing of her father, who passed away last Sunday. So we look forward to having her back with us next week at the same time to share with us from her perspectives, take a little time out to see what's going on in the world, in the universe, in the spirit world, if you will. And so, again, our thoughts and prayers go out to Beth and her family. Today's program is going to be dealing with that very subject of loss of a loved one. I remember going back before 2003 thinking, you know, the only close person I ever lost that I can remember was one of my grandmothers. Of course, I was just a little kid at the time, and now I'm an adult, and I've had all these experiences, and gee, I wonder what that'll be like now. And what I found out was it wasn't much different than when I was a child. And what we're going to do is we're going to talk with our guest today, Debbie Heneghan. She is the creator of, not only she's written a book, but she's also created a helpful CD package, Turn Your Pain Into Peace, working through the challenges from the loss of a loved one, as well as living a spiritually fulfilling life. And the book is Closer Than You Think, and the website is painintopeace.com. Debbie Heneghan, thank you so much for joining us on the program. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you for having me, Richard. It's great to be here.
This is a subject that is, I want to say near and dear to my heart, because it's a subject that I enjoy covering. I enjoy talking to people about, primarily from the standpoint of demystifying it, taking the fear out of it. That is probably the one of the biggest problems we have in our society today is that whole issue. I mean, when we drive by mortuaries, funeral homes, or even cemeteries, some people kind of get the willies. They feel very uncomfortable. They don't really want to even know that they're there. And
absolutely.
And I do remember on my first trip to Ireland with my wife, as she wanted to visit the cemeteries. And I thought, this is weird. She never mentioned an interest in cemeteries before. So it kind of freaked me out a little bit. But I went and I found an interesting turn of events. I looked at the cemeteries from the perspective, the people lying in these graves were the ones that built the towns in which this cemetery resides. And if it wasn't for them, this town wouldn't exist. Mm-hmm. And much of our civilization and our society wouldn't exist. So as hard as it is to think about the loss, we have to also think about the incredible contributions that these people gave during their lives.
Absolutely. That's one of the most important. And it isn't just, you know, driving by funeral homes or cemeteries that make us all cringe. It's the word death. I mean, most people can't even say the word because everyone seems to fear it so much. And, you know, like you said, while it's sad and it's hard to work through those losses when we lose someone near and dear to our heart, it still is a part of life. And it's about embracing that experience and, yes, most importantly, understanding and realizing what we've all gained from that person's life and how that affects us for the rest of our life as well as people that are coming behind us. So I love how you said that. It's so important to realize excuse me, the positive side of death, even though it seems like on the surface there isn't such a thing.
Well, I also have to inject a bit of humor because one of my favorite television series, one of the old Bob Newhart shows with Suzanne Pleshette, where Bob has this experience at the beginning of the episode where he nearly falls down an elevator shaft and goes on throughout the entire episode talking about how he just about met the Grim Reaper or Father Death and all, of course, all of the jokes. And the scene that my favorite was where he and Emily are lying in bed and... You know, she's going on and on about, Bob, you have to understand that this is just a part of life. And Bob turns to her with this astonished face and he says, yeah, the last part. Well, but that's not even true.
It isn't, because we're all going to lose someone close to us. So at some point, whether you're young or older, someone in your family, someone close by, friends, whatever it may be, whoever it may be, we are all going to experience the death of someone we love at some point or another in our life. And that's why I'm very passionate about talking to people and helping people work through grief when they experience it, and even to prepare them for future experiences of another person passing, because it is a part of life and we have to figure out how to work through this and continue forward with our life. Because what happens a lot of times is people lose someone close. It could be a spouse, it could be a child, it could be, you know, someone that you would never think is going to go before you, and that's heart-wrenching, but we have to, for our own self and for others and even for those who pass, we need to continue forward in life. So it's finding the strength within to be able to do that, and also trying to look at death from a different perspective, just like you mentioned, Richard. You know, hey, all of these people have passed when you look at, you know, those that are laying in cemeteries, but they did contribute to the life here on Earth. They've built the towns. They've done things to help all of us live. So it is about celebrating what they brought to us when they were here.
And that sometimes isn't even enough to calm someone. You know, they will look at that as, well, that's just another one of those platitudes, you know, that meaningless words. I am hurting over here and you're just trying to find a way to make me feel better. Let's talk a little bit about that, because we never try to talk somebody out of being happy or joyful.
Right.
So why would we talk somebody out of being sad and grieving? And
right,
that's really one of the other points that we try to make on this program. When we deal with the subject, I like to use the word of transitioning. And that is, allow the person to grieve, to hurt, to be sad, even to be. I remember after my paternal big brother passed in October of 2003, and I have to tell you that I actually was able to be the observer at one point along the way. I could not believe how angry I was. I was so, so mad that he left.
Yeah, and that is the most important point. Thank you for bringing that up, because you're right, we don't talk anybody out of being sad or being happy or joyful, but we also should never talk someone out of being sad or angry or whatever emotion it is that you feel from the loss. Grieving, the process of grieving is something that each of us needs to go through, and we're going to do it at our own pace. Mm. We're going to do it in the time frame that we need. Some people can do it much quicker. Some people it takes a lot longer, and it could be a couple of days, it could be years. Mm. And, you know, there's really no right or wrong way in which to grieve. It's purely about just going within your heart and really being honest about your feelings. If you're angry, then yes, you have to let out those emotions. So whenever I work with different people, it's the very first step is be honest about your feelings and let them out. The worst thing that you could do is try to avoid your feelings, bury them, ignore them, because when you do that, they're going to come up later on in life and they're going to be even more difficult to deal with later, because other things are going to pile on top of those feelings and it's just going to be explosive. So the most important thing is to absolutely let those emotions out. If you're sad, cry. If you can't get yourself crying, put in a sad movie. Do something to get the tears rolling, because It's all about letting out those emotions that helps you relieve all of that anxiety, all of the grief, the void, all of that that you're feeling. You have to let it out because that actually shifts the energy. And even though it's an awful feeling, it is actually helping you to work through that loss.
I want to talk more about your connection to this subject. I'm sure that as with all of us, myself included, and I have to tell you, it took me a long time to put myself into the group of those who have lost loved ones, and that it was traumatic for them. I want to talk more about your experiences and why you, as opposed to say, I mean, I lost my grandmother, I lost my paternal big brother, my parents are in there. My father will be 80 this year, he's still alive and kicking. They're both doing fantastic. But I also know they're not going to live forever. And, of course, the typical scenario is that the parents do not outlive the children. The children outlive the parents.
Right.
So that day is coming. And I want to talk more about that as we continue talking here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan. Stay tuned.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
This is Tell Me Your Story. My guest is Debbie Heenahan, and we are talking about transitioning. We are talking about pain into peace. We are talking also about the fact that it is closer than you think. Kind of an interesting turn of a phrase there, Debbie. Closer than you think for all of us. I have to say, my father, it took me a number of years to come to this realization that my father really did teach me a lot of stuff. One of them was, be sure that you find a job you love doing because you're going to be doing it for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. I'm very lucky in that I found the right path the first time. I went down a few other paths in the meantime, but I've always come back to this. He also said, eat, drink, and sort of be merry. Enjoy yourself in moderation, because I think this other phrase that he shared with me ties in, because nobody's getting out of this life alive. And you and I, have both experienced, as I've shared, the loss of someone very close. I was actually almost removed from the church as a 7 or 8 or 9 year old when my grandmother passed away. And I have since had a dream about her, which was actually rather profound, let alone prophetic. When my paternal big brother passed away, and these are the only two people I can think of that I was close to, there was a lot of emotion, especially as a child, but even as an adult, losing my paternal big brother. And yet, when I found out that my former parents-in-law had both passed away within like 6 months of each other, and we're now talking 2 or 3 years ago, I was never called. Nobody ever said anything to me. And yet, it hit me just as hard because we had shared 15 Christmases together. So that pain, that feeling, that connectedness to people. Sometimes someone even asked me, says, well, why did you even call? I mean, if you had that feeling that they had gone, why did you need to have that confirmation? I just did.
Yeah, yeah. It's a part of working through it. It's
yeah.
Still, it affects your life, and it's important to acknowledge those feelings and accept them, because that, again, is part of processing your feelings, letting them out, and moving through it. It's so important to do that.
Mm-hmm. How did you get drawn into, or how did you find this path? That's probably the more appropriate way of putting
yeah.
it. Because again, as I said, we've all lost someone near and dear to us, but we all didn't go down the path of creating a book or CDs or a website or going out and lecturing to people about this subject.
Right. It was 24 years ago, a little over 24 years ago now, when my sister passed away. She was 2 years older than me, and at that time I was 15 and she was 17, and it was during her senior year in high school, and she passed away from leukemia that she had. She had it for a couple years, 1 year, but then she went into remission and was great, healthy. We became best friends at the age that we were, 14 and 16, and it was wonderful. I mean, we were friends. We were hanging out together and going to school and being what sisters should be at that age. But then she went out of remission and didn't survive it after a few months of going back, falling back down. But when she died or passed away, that was the first person that I lost. I was 15. I didn't really understand it. So for everybody out there going through a loss, I would describe it as for the first few weeks I was in complete denial. I did not cry a tear. I didn't really understand because I thought all of my grandparents were living. Again, the first person that I lost. So I couldn't comprehend what that meant. And I denied it. And every day I would come home from school and I would call the hospital number because I knew one of these days she's going to answer the phone, because that's what I had done for a few weeks. Whenever she was really sick, I would call her as soon as I got home from school. And I believed that she was going to answer one day. And I just remember being a few weeks where I thought, you know, why isn't she answering? And it all of a sudden hit me that, wow, you know, I'm not going to be able to talk to her again. We're not going to be able to share clothes and, you know, do the things that we were doing. And I sat in my room and all these emotions came out. I was very angry and then I was so sad. I think I cried for 2 days straight. And I went to bed one night, and it was probably a good 3-4 weeks after she had passed. And she came to me in the middle of the night. I was awoken by her voice, because I used to sleep in her room whenever she was sick, and I used to help her go to the bathroom in the middle of the night because she was too weak. And so she could just whisper my name, and I would jump right up and hear her, and that's exactly what happened that night. And I woke up, and I saw her standing next to my bed, and I went and reached out to touch her, and she disappeared. And so, of course, I thought, great, what did I do? She was here. What's going on? And it was that day that everything changed for me, because I didn't know what to do with that. But once I woke up in the morning, I just started talking to her, saying, are you okay? You know, you were here. Was that you? You know, just asking lots of questions. And after so many questions, I started receiving signs and messages from her. Different things that I knew were her, because it wasn't just, for instance, hearing her favorite song on the radio as soon as I would turn it on, or seeing her favorite number. These types of things would happen, but it wasn't just those things that were her favorites. It was the feeling that I had whenever that music played or when I saw something favorite of hers. It was as if she was right there giving me an invisible hug. I call them invisible hugs. And it was so powerful and so comforting that I just kept on talking to her and reaching out to her. And I did it for years. And she would always respond. And I call these, you know, spiritual connections. And she, if I were to ask a question, you know, I'm thinking of, once I graduated high school, I'm thinking of going for a job like this or a career like that. You know, give me a sign if you think that's the direction I should go. And I would get a sign, and sometimes I'd ask for a specific sign. Maybe it's a bluebird or, you know, something that I would just, you know, I don't see often. Mm-hmm. And if I would see it that day, that was a sign from her giving me that little bit of a boost of confidence in the decisions that I would make. So I had done that for years. I didn't tell anybody until I was in my early 20s, because I had mentioned it to one person in my family, and they sort of looked at me like I had seven heads. Like, what do you mean you're talking to Kathy? I mean, what? And so because I got the response I did, yeah, I thought, oh, I'm not going to tell anybody that I did this. But then it started to change, you know, where I would bring it up to someone, and they'd say, oh, I know what you mean. You know, my grandmother died, and I could just feel her around me, or I can smell her scent. And, you know, I started opening up a little bit more, and then I started receiving messages from my sister probably about 6 or 7 years ago about writing a book and talking about our connection, because what happened over these years for me is our connection just continuously increased. It got stronger and stronger, and she is truly, and all of our loved ones can be for all of us, she's truly a wonderful inspiration to me. It's very comforting and peaceful. It really helped me to accept that she's no longer here physically, but for me to understand and realize that, wow, all of our loved ones are closer than we think they are, and they're just a thought away. And although we can't hug them physically or see them or touch them, we can feel their presence, and we can reach out to them if we feel comfortable doing that. A lot of people don't feel comfortable with that, so it's really up to everybody and their comfort level. But for me, I think it's the most remarkable connection anyone could have, because, again, you just receive this beautiful comfort from them, and it just is a calming feeling that helps you to work through that void in your heart from them not being here physically.
And it is quite a void, in spite of the fact that over the course of time, not only have I learned, but through subsequent interviews, the void is eventually filled. It may take a while, but that hole eventually gets filled in by everybody else in your life. And it's not that, and here comes, I think this is a big issue for a lot of people, and that is that they're afraid of filling that void.
I was going to say, because whenever you do, you think you're forgetting about that person, and you'll never forget about them. I get the goosebumps when I talk about this. That person is always close to you. They are right next to you. Again, they're a thought away, one thought away, and they're right there. They're going to provide you a little bit of comfort just by giving you that invisible hug or just letting you know that they're around. So many more people, Richard, I don't know about you, but there are so many more people that talk about how they can feel their mom around, or you know, they come to visit you in their dreams, or they dreamt about someone. Well, when you dream about someone who's passed, that's really them coming to you. Even if they don't say anything to you, they're just showing their face to you to say, I'm okay, it's okay. So, you know, it's filling the void with other things that are going on and happening in your life isn't forgetting that person.
Yeah.
That person is always going to be in your heart. And of course, the memories that you had with that person will always be there as well.
I remember an experience I had when my wife and I were in Ireland, and I had this dream one night. Now, I didn't see anybody. I don't recall seeing anything for that matter, but all I heard was, don't say anything bad around Bridget. And of course, I woke up and I told Amrit about this. And Bridget, who's Bridget? I don't know who any Bridget is. Well, we went off to one of the islands off of the west coast of Galway, and we came to what they called the seven churches. And there was a cemetery. And my wife found this big concrete sheet, if you will, a grave cover. And she called me over and she said, look whose name is on the thing. And it was actually Bridget McDonough, which is my wife's is her maiden name. At that instant, I put my hand over my mouth and walked away. But the voice that I heard telling me that was my paternal big brother. And it was quite extraordinary. I mean, just that experience, not just the dream, but then literally the next day, it was in essence manifest. And we happen to have custody of his cat, Amos, and he's 20 years old.
Oh, wow.
We know that his time is coming. And I know that my wife is not real happy about that thought, because I think she is afraid, and maybe inside I am a little bit too, that when he goes, that's going to be our last connection. I mean, it's going to be one of those hard things.
Right, the last physical connection.
The last physical connection.
Yeah.
Now, I happen to have one of his shoes in my shed. I don't know why. It's just one. I don't know why I have that shoe, but I do. I want to ask you, now you said you communicate, or you talk too. Does your sister talk back? I mean, do you have conversations?
Yeah. No, not via words.
Okay.
I mean, now, many times, just like the example that you just gave of hearing your brother say, you know, don't say anything bad around Bridget, you knew that it was his voice and you heard him.
Yeah.
That does absolutely happen to me, where I will hear her voice when it is something that it's like, okay, she really wants to get my attention, I'm not paying attention, I will hear her.
Mm-hmm.
But typically it is all through different signs or messages. And it could be, like I said, the music, numbers, favorite items, but it's even through other people. I mean, someone may call me out of the blue and just say something, and they'll say, I don't know why I just said that. That was weird. And of course, for me, it was an answer to some question that I asked her.
Oh,
so
wow.
It does happen that way. It also happens when, for instance, I might walk into a doctor's office and I'm waiting for my appointment and I pick up a magazine and I open up the book and something on the page jumps out like 3D to me that is an answer to some question that I asked her or some message that she just wants me to know.
Mm.
So it really happens in any form and fashion, and it's the feeling that you get from it. So, you know, it's not anything to be, you know, be careful. Like I always say, people, just be open to receiving messages and signs and don't get obsessed by it where you're always looking and going, oh, wonder if that was him, wonder if that was her. Just,
yeah.
You'll know. It's one of those things that it's a knowing, and it's hard to explain until you go through it. But that's just like when you're in love. See, some people will say no.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean by this as well. When I get a sign or a message, it's that knowing that comes along with it that it sort of runs up and down my spine that just says, this is Kathy, this is, you know, this is my sister, and mm-hmm. it's a message from her. And that's really how it feels. So she, you know, sometimes she will speak out in words, not often at all, though. Usually just through other signs and messages.
We don't fully understand the various realms or levels or dimensions of existence. All we know and have concrete proof of, as good as that can be, I suppose, is of this world.
Mm-hmm.
And when somebody transitions into the next, we've seen television programs that talk about hauntings. You know, the person isn't ready to cross over is the term. Have you asked questions in that context of what's on the other side? And I guess what I'm really getting to is, has your sister crossed over, or is that what the transition was when she succumbed to the cancer?
Yes, she did cross over. I mean, I feel I've never asked her, so that's a great question. I've never asked her. In the beginning, I was saying, are you okay? Because she had come to me and then disappeared when I tried to reach out and touch her. But in the beginning, I would say, are you okay? Where are you? But I really never received answers to those questions. And when I felt that knowing, that feeling that I received, that invisible hug, if you will, when I asked other questions and received different signs and messages, when I felt that, to me, it just put this level of peace and comfort over me, knowing that wherever she is, because our minds as humans can't really figure that out, right, because we're here and it's all physical, wherever she is, she's okay. So I guess for me, it's so strong of a feeling from her. There's such unconditional love and peace and comfort. I always say peace and comfort, that I've never questioned where is she and on what level. Now, I've done some research on that and how when an individual does transition, you know, they are going to go through that life review, and sometimes they're going to stay at, you know, the level plane one, whatever you want to call it, where they're, you know, healing from some of the things from their own life.
Yeah.
So there are healings that they have to go through in order to be a spiritual being, but I've never actually asked her that because, again, I guess the feeling that I get from her is so beautiful that I just know she's okay, and I just know that everyone that passes is okay.
Yeah.
They're going to go through healing that they need to get used to that, you know, the spiritual body, if you will, versus a physical body, but they're okay, and they're in such a beautiful place that I don't question it, and I guess it's because of the feeling that I get from her.
Well, I hope that my life review is as fun and as exciting as Albert Brooks and Meryl Streep in that same movie with Rip Torn. That was absolutely, I love watching that movie. It is great fun. They're able to eat whatever they want, not going to gain a pound. What I found so fascinating, though, was that one scene with Albert sitting there in the review room, and he keeps getting asked these questions that on the surface, like, what's the relevance of that question? What do you mean, what did I learn?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm dead. It doesn't matter anymore. But, you know, we're talking with Debbie Heenahan about transitioning, about her work and her book, Closer Than You Think, Transforming Grief into Guidance and Blessings After Death. We are also talking about her website, which is painintopeace.com, which we are linked to at richarddugan.com. So you can go either way, painintopeace.com. And, of course, this program will be available following the broadcast as an archive. You'll be able to listen to it, share it with your friends and family and whoever you should choose to do so. It seems, Debbie, that as we work through our day-to-day lives, this is one of the things that's always perplexed me a little bit. Now, obviously, there are over 7 billion people. They're saying there are going to be 10 billion people by, I think, 2020.
Oh, wow.
I think that's right. And yet we also hear about those who die. It doesn't matter how, but the fact is that hundreds of thousands of human lives come to an end or transition today. That's what will happen today. And it will happen for them with no fanfare, no acknowledgement, no ceremony. For many of them, that's the case. An individual who is maybe living on the streets or out in the middle of nowhere, chosen to live out in the middle of nowhere and has come to the end of this existence and transitions. And they, in essence, they transition alone. Now, this is a little different realm, I suppose, and I'm wondering if there's any, has there been any conversation in regards to that process?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, no matter if you are living out in the middle of nowhere and you pass, it may seem to us as the humans here on the physical plane, it may seem to us that that person is passing alone, but they're really never alone. We all have guardian angels and spirit guides, and we all have ancestors that have passed before us. So someone is going to come and help that person transition. At least that's, you know, what I understand, yes, from my sister, but then also from different research. There are a lot of things out there written about this, but, you know, the person is never transitioning by themselves, mm-hmm. even if they are by themselves when they pass. There will always be someone that is going to help them go to the other side.
I've heard it described as just taking off a big old overcoat.
Yeah, absolutely, sure. And that overcoat is the physical body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I was a kid growing up, I used to think that the rest of the world was here for me, that I was the only one conscious of what was going on, and that as I looked through the eyes of this physical body, I was watching what was happening, and whatever happened in the interactions between myself and the other physical beings here, it was all for me. This is my world. It doesn't belong to anybody else, and nobody else is having this conscious awareness. I mean, this was a thought I had as a kid growing up.
Yeah.
As if I'm walking around inside of one of those Transformer things, you know, those from the movie?
Yeah.
That's kind of how I see the transitioning, and I use the analogy. How many cars have you had in your lifetime so far? What's been the purpose of the car? To get you to from point A to point B.
Yeah.
Well, so how is the physical body any different?
That's true. It is. Absolutely.
The body isn't really who we are, is it?
It isn't, and that's the thing. And it's interesting for you to have felt that way as a young child, because it really is that the world is ours for each and every one of us. Mm-hmm. The possibilities, I should say, are limitless for all of us. We are in a physical body, but that doesn't mean anything is limited. It's our mind and society and our beliefs and different things that limit us from living to our fullest potential. And to as a young child, to think that, you know, this is your world and it's all for you, and guess what? It is that way for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And that is because we are spiritual beings living in a physical body right now to go through different experiences to help us grow as individuals.
You know, it's funny, though. There was a small part of me that was still in the little child phase when I would think this and saying, no, nobody else, it's not anybody else's. It's mine, and all mine.
Well, yeah, that's something to just, that is a childlike thought, because you don't want to share, but,
yeah.
You know, you grow out of that as well. Yeah.
I thought that was funny. we're all traveling through both space and time, and some of us are starting to experience the acceleration thereof. I'm curious, you're still having these, I'll call them dialogues because not really conversations as you have described them. I'm wondering if there have been any dialogues in reference to either time and its passage, not necessarily even asking questions about the future. I don't think that would really be fair for us to peek into the future in that regard. Let's just experience each day as it comes and be excited about that. Mm-hmm. But in terms of the direction that we are going and the time is apparently speeding up. I mean, there are moments when I do these radio programs and before they started.
Right.
You know? And then as a child sitting in church, it couldn't be over soon enough. It just dragged on and was only maybe 45 minutes.
Right.
And it would drag on and on and on. What about those kinds of perceptions? Any conversations or musings or even hints in that regard to time?
To time? I mean, no, I haven't. I do have a few things to say there. First of all, time is flying. There's no doubt it's already June of 2011, which is just in a couple of days, which is just bizarre. But what I have seen and what I have been shown, there are many images and different things that are shown to me. And messages that I get from my sister that have really put me on my spiritual path. It's not necessarily a time thing and how fast, but for lack of better words, the world is changing because something's got to give here. We all need to really wake up and be more conscious of ourselves and be more accepting of ourselves and love ourselves more for who we are, so that we can be better individuals in the world and bring more joy and love and happiness to the world. So from that perspective, I'm sort of going off topic, but what I've seen is that, you know, over time, and it has already started, there's lots of shifts going on. And to me, quite frankly, my personal opinion is, all of these natural disasters and things that are occurring, mm-hmm. from earthquakes or tsunamis, whatever it may be, and lots of deaths from that, the hundreds and thousands of deaths of people being taken from those, that's happening because, again, my opinion, because the world has to change and we all have to come together collectively and start working together. And when disasters like that happen, you and a stranger that you've never met before all of a sudden are teamed up to help everyone. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter who it is. I mean, we all look at things differently when disasters happen. We have a compassion about us to be able to help people that we know or don't know. And these things are happening because we have to start living that way. Don't look at a stranger as if they're weird. Smile at everyone because you may make their day. I mean, be nice to people. Every day we should be doing something nice for someone, even if it is simple as smiling at a stranger. We need to start being more open and being more loving because that's what's going to help shift the negative energy that has somehow consumed the world. And again, that's where I see things shifting. I just see things shifting and how these disasters are bringing people together to work together as teams and to appreciate life more and to be more positive.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's really what I see coming. So the time frame or anything like that, I don't know, time is flying.
Yeah.
But I really do just see things shifting because it needs to.
With these experiences that you have had over the last 25 years or so, do you consider yourself an intuitive or a psychic, a medium, or anything of this nature? Or is what you experience with your sister something a little different than that? And that each one of us, again, because we've all had loved ones cross over, we can have that same experience, but it doesn't necessarily make us anything other than who we are. We don't have to take on the label of an intuitive or a psychic or what have you.
Yes. Thank you for asking that question, Richard. I would not label myself as a psychic medium or anything. I definitely am intuitive, But yes, the point is we all are. Mm-hmm. So we all absolutely can connect with our loved ones on the other side, have a conversation with them, ask them for a sign or message just to let you know that they're near and that they're okay. We can all do this. It isn't about having special powers or special abilities. So yes, I've gotten many messages for others, but we all can do that. And mm-hmm. so that's what I'm always talking about in my teleseminars and on my radio show and different things, just saying that we all have the same ability. It's about having faith and believing that a spiritual connection can exist. And it's also going with your comfort level, because again, some people, it's just not for them, and that's fine. There's no right or wrong. It's, you know, you go by what you feel comfortable with, but it is a matter of believing that you can do it, and you do not have to be labeled as a psychic or a medium to be able to do this. We can all do this on our own and in our own time and in our own form and fashion, however it is that we would like to do it.
Very good. Debbie Heenahan, my guest. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Stay tuned.
Tell me your story.
I'm Richard Dugan, your host, my guest, Debbie Heenahan, and she is an author of a book entitled Closer Than You Think, and actually it is. It's as close as the snap of a finger, for that matter, or literally, some have used the concept, the breadth of an eyelash. Also, a CD set called Turn Your Pain Into Peace, also a website by the same name, painintopeace.com. We are linked to that. This program is at richarddugan.com, the radio show's page, and we certainly hope that you'll check that out. Debbie, you have a radio program on SQR.fm that is available to people. Tell us a little bit about that program.
Yes, great. Thank you. It's actually, I've expanded it now in the last couple months. I'm co-hosting with another host, Dr. Bill Clark, and he and I decided we're both on our spiritual paths and delivering and teaching about the same message, and that is to go within, find your spiritual truth, and start to live a life that is happier, you know, one where you're more positive and you're able to live, from a more positive perspective, I guess I should say. But the radio show is called Journey to Spiritual Truth, and it is all about finding joy and love through all of life's experiences, including the experience that we all go through of losing someone that we love. So that show airs every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Pacific, which is 10 p.m. Eastern Time, on SQR.fm.
Easy to find. SQR.fm for spiritual, is it Quest Radio?
Spirit Quest Radio.
Spirit Quest Radio. SQR.fm. Before we wrap up our program, a couple of final questions. Who is Debbie Heenahan?
Who is Debbie Heenahan? Well, I am an author, like you said. I am working on moving down my spiritual path and just helping others to work through any challenging situation in life, not just the one, you know, from the loss of a loved one, but it's any challenging situation in life. So I have a passion to really help people understand that there are ways in which to look at all experiences from a positive light, even if that experience on the surface is horrible and is heart-wrenching. There are ways to work through that and to come out living a better life and feeling more fulfilled. So I do things focused on those topics. That's through the radio show, through my book, which is coming out at the beginning of 2012, and the audio CD that you had mentioned, as well as through teleseminars and personal and life coaching. In addition to that, I'm still hanging on to a career that I hope to be moving on from soon, but I have been in the software engineering career for 19-plus years. So I am transitioning away from that to be fully on my spiritual path to continue to try to help people, you know, find that joy and love through all of life's experiences.
I never believe that we ever waste any time, that every experience that we have adds not just to our overall experiences and sort of, as we were told in childhood, broadens our horizons. Go to the library, read a book, broaden your horizon. So tell me, how does this software engineering tie into all of this? That's interesting.
It really is interesting. To be honest, what I've noticed, I always believe that God or your higher power, whatever you all may call it, I happen to call my higher power God, but I always have believed that God provides you with what you need before you even know you need it. And throughout my career, it has really helped me with my presentation skills and being able to speak in front of people and teach people, and because I've done that for many years now. But now I know why.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been fantastic because it has helped me to grow as a person. It helps me to understand the business world and different personalities of customers and, you know, different levels of folks and how you can interface with people. So I've learned so much on the people skill side, presenting and speaking, which is exactly what I'm doing now on the spiritual side with my company. And so I would say working with computers has always been a passion for me, but doing that, it has opened up the avenues of creating demonstrations and presenting in front of people no matter what level they are in the company. So it's really provided me a level of confidence that has helped me to be able to stand up in front of people and speak. So that's, if I'm talking about something that's passionate, it's great because I feel like God put me in the position that he did in my career to prepare me to be able to do the coaching and the speaking engagements that I'm doing now.
There you go. And in light of what we've talked about in this program, your book, Closer Than You Think, your CD set, your website, Pain Into Peace, why this, why now?
Why this, why now? Because it feels right. All of this is truly divinely guided. I have to thank my sister for this because, again, this beautiful connection that I've had with her, the unconditional love, the boost of confidence, the energy, the whatever it may be, she has just provided me every step of the way as I move forward. And she's pretty much been the one that told me, you need to write a book about our spiritual connection because others need to realize that they don't have to have special powers to do this and that it is very uplifting and comforting. She has told me that, and all along that, I just kept on receiving messages and signs along the way, sort of what I call the spiritual breadcrumbs, that have told me to do a website, start talking to people, coach people from a grieving perspective, and it has blossomed, Richard. It has just happened, and it's because I'm open to whatever comes next, and I'm driven by it, and I love doing this because I think it's so important for people to know that there's such greatness and there is beauty and there are blessings and gifts from the death of those that we love, even though it takes us a while to see that. But it really, once I got started writing my book, everything else has just happened. And it's happened, I have to say, easily. And I guess it's because I'm just following the guidance that I'm receiving. And what I'd like to send out to everybody is we're all receiving divine guidance all of the time. And the experiences that we go through, even if they appear not so good on the surface, they're happening to us to help us grow in an area that we need to prepare us for whatever is coming next.
Absolutely.
So just like you said, no experience, you know, they're all there to help us grow.
Right.
It's so true. So just know that when something happens and it doesn't feel good and it's awful, there is a gift in that. There are many of them, and you'll see them one day. And
absolutely,
it's a matter of being open to that. And, you know, that's what I've done. I've just followed guidance. I would say to everybody out there that if you get messages, if you feel like the job that you're in isn't the one for you, if you're not happy, just like your dad has told you, Richard, make sure you pick one and you love it because that's what you're going to be doing. If someone out there is not happy, you need to go within and figure out what it is that would make you happy. And don't be afraid. We all get so consumed by fear, and we allow fear to control us. Follow your heart, and by following your heart, everything else will fall into place because that's what's happening for me.
Absolutely.
And I'm so thankful for it.
Well, I want to thank you, Debbie Hinahan, for joining us. I encourage people to go to painintopeace.com. And also go to richarddugan.com to listen to these archives again. I want to thank you so much for sharing your time and your story with us.
Thank you for having me, Richard. It was great.
I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We're giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. We'll come your way again next Saturday, which will be the first Saturday in June. at 3 p.m. Pacific time, but we're always available online, streaming live at richarddugan.com. Until next Saturday, love to Lal.